أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was once explaining the concept that for a human being it is really important to attain purity of two things. One is purity of thoughts and the other is the piety of the sentiments. The true and long-lasting thoughts of virtue originate from the purity of heart. This means that the lasting views and sentiments of piety arise when the heart is completely pure. This purity of thought, in other words, one's views, opinions and attitudes, is called tanvir in Arabic. And tanvir can only be attained through the piety of one's mind. Tanvir is defined as a sort of light that originates from within a person and always guides him to think and ponder in the right way. Tanvir is not a state where one has to make an effort to develop pure thinking. Rather, tanvir is a state of enlightenment where pious thoughts come naturally and effortlessly to a person. A person who has attained tanvir becomes immune from having impure thoughts and feelings. Of course, this state is attained by constant effort and with the grace of Allah the Almighty. In any case, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that he heard this from the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, that since Islamic law can be readily recalled by the people who work on these issues all the time, therefore when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam used to get asked questions about the Islamic jurisprudence, he sometimes used to refer these questions to his companions, such as Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, or Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, and Maulvi Sayyid Asan Sahib. At times, he would direct that some other scholar should be consulted to answer the question. However, if the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam felt that the nature of the question was such that his guidance was crucial as the Imam of the age, then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would answer the question himself. However, if the question did not relate to potentially controversial issues, he would recommend that the question should be asked of a Jamaat scholar. And if that particular scholar happened to be present at the time when the question was being asked, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would suggest an answer and would ask the scholar to comment. At other times, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would recommend to consult the scholar for the answer and would also say that my inclination is that the answer to this question should be in such and such way. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that I have experienced it, that even if I did not have the full knowledge of the specifics of the answer, however, the answer I thought of instinctively turned out to be correct in light of the teachings of the Ahadith and Sunnah. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that this is Tanveer. Therefore, Tanveer means that one's sentiment, emotions and thought process are all correct and proper. This is just like as one claiming to be in good health at a given time is different from the state in which one will stay in good health in the future. So, Tanveer is like the purification and cleansing of one's character, which will lead to pure and proper thought processes and sentiments. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that in order to attain spiritual progress, it is vital to focus on Tanveer as well as piety and purity. The fact of the matter is that Tanveer has the same relationship to the mind as taqwa, i.e. righteousness, has with the heart. Usually people think that acts of virtue and taqwa, i.e. righteousness, are the same. Indeed, virtuous acts are the deeds that we have done or intend to do. And taqwa, i.e. righteousness, means that one's deepest desires and wishes all are pure. As it has been mentioned earlier, the feelings, sentiments and reflections are all related to one's mind, and these are called Tanveer. Whereas to attain a permanent purity in emotions is known as taqwa, i.e. righteousness, and this is related to the heart. When a person successfully attains enlightenment of mind and righteousness in his heart, he becomes immune to the attacks of evil. And when one becomes immune from the evil, such a person comes under the protection of the grace of Allah the Almighty. As Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stated, that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to assign the questions related to ordinary matters to the scholars of his community. But also he used to guide the scholars of the community about the various matters of jurisprudence, even if they appeared to be very small. For example, the question of offering qasr, i.e. shortening the prayer during travelling. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam responded to the question that what qualifies as travel and when does the concession of qasr, i.e. shortening the prayer, apply. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that the essence of my belief is that one should not inflict too much difficulty and hardship on oneself. For a proper journey, even if it is only 2 to 3 miles, one should use the concession of qasr, i.e. shortening the prayer. Deeds are judged by the intention. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that for leisure, sometimes we walk for miles with friends. However, this cannot be considered as travel. However, at other times when one packs one's bag and sets off with the intention of travel, then he is regarded as a traveler. To explain the basis of Sharia, i.e. the Islamic law, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that the definition of travel according to Sharia is not based on time but on the intention. Therefore, whatever you deem as travel is indeed travel. Thus, it is evident from this that a journey becomes a journey when you intend to go on one. In the recent days, perhaps when I went for the opening of the mosque in Leicester, after which I was going to return, I led the Isha prayer in its entirety. Upon this, the question arose in the minds of some people that the prayer had not been shortened. at that time, this very instruction of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in my mind, that a journey becomes a journey when you have the intention of traveling on a journey and one packs his bags. Now, as this was not a journey of this kind, and I was going to return on the same day, therefore, I did not shorten the prayer. Along with this, innamal a'malu bin niyat, that is, deeds are judged by motives, should also be kept in mind. If this is kept in mind, then a person does not burden himself too much, and nor does he look for too much ease. Rather, the aim is to act in accordance with the instructions of Allah the Exalted and His Messenger. Elaborating further on this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says at one place, "Indeed, judge your intentions well. Righteousness, i.e. taqwa, should be borne in mind very well in all such matters. If a person goes for a regular business or on a regular journey on a daily basis, it is not considered to be a journey. Rather, a journey is which a person undertakes specifically and leaves the house for the mere purpose of that task. And also that travel is commonly understood to be a journey. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "I generally go for a 2-mile walk every day. However, this is not a journey. The content of the heart should be observed on such occasions. If the heart gives a verdict without any unease that this is a journey, then one should shorten the prayer." Istafte kalbaka. That is, acquire an edict from your heart. Action is then required accordingly. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Even though one may have 1,000 edicts, however, the contentment of the heart of a believer with pure intentions is an excellent thing." Thus, the intention and the verdict of one's heart should also be taken into account on some occasions. The intention should be pure, and the verdict of the heart should be acquired with this pure intention. Once someone asked whether a person who comes to the Merkaz, i.e. the headquarters or the center, should he shorten his prayers or not? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was asked this question, and some people raise this question even now. Some people believe that the prayers are not shortened by coming to the Merkaz, in other words, when they used to go to Qadian or Rabwa, or when some people come here. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "A person who comes here for 3 days, it is permitted for him to shorten the prayers. In my opinion, the journey which is undertaken with the intention of a journey, whether it be a journey of a mere 6 to 8 miles, it is permitted to shorten the prayers during it. However, if the Imam is a local resident, then the entire prayer has to be offered behind him. Hence, wherever you are going locally, whether it is the Merkaz, i.e. the headquarters or another place, if the Imam is leading the prayer and he is a local resident, he will nevertheless lead the prayer in its entirety, and the one traveling will also offer the prayer in its entirety behind him." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "The trip of governors is not a journey. Those who go on trips, the officers, their trips are not journeys. It is the same as someone taking a walk in his garden. Therefore, there is no concept at all of a journey without any reason." With regards to how the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would at times counsel his companions regarding matters, Qazi Amir Hussain Sahib says regarding this, "In the beginning, I was of the opinion that it was not permitted to shorten the prayer on a journey in ordinary conditions, rather, only being permitted in a state of war, in a fear of disorder. I used to debate a lot with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I regarding this." Qazi Sahib says, "During the days the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had a lawsuit in Gurdaspur, I went there once as well. Maulvi Sahib, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, and Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib were there with the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. However, when it was time for the Zuhr prayer, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam asked me to lead the prayer. In other words, the promised Messiah asked Qazi Sahib to lead the prayer. He says, I firmly decided in my heart that as I have received the opportunity today, I will not shorten the prayer. Rather, I will offer it in its entirety. And accordingly, this matter will also be somewhat settled. After offering it, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam himself will give an edict. Qazi Sahib says, after having decided this, I had just raised my hands in order to say Allahu Akbar, and I had raised them with the intention that I will not shorten the prayer. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, who was standing behind me to the right, immediately stepped forward and placed his mouth close to my ear and said, Qazi Sahib, you are only going to offer two, right? Upon this, I said that Hazur, I will only offer two. Qazi Sahib says, hence, from that day, this issue had been resolved, and I abandoned my opinion. This was the state of the companions, that how they would open-heartedly leave their decisions instantly. I would also like to add that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has addressed matters of jurisprudence on various occasions. It wasn't as such that he referred every matter to the scholars. In fact, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would address them himself as well. And Nazarat-e-Irshad Pakistan, i.e. the Department of Publications, has now with great effort collected all of these matters of jurisprudence addressed by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam on various occasions and various meetings with the help of some scholars, among whom are professors of jurisprudence from Jamia and also some of the students. And this book has been published here by the name of Fiqhul Masih, i.e. the jurisprudence of the Messiah. There are various matters, and the members of the Jamaat should purchase this book in order to acquire awareness regarding these matters. May Allah the Exalted reward those who have collected all of these matters of jurisprudence. They have collected and compiled them in a very nice manner. Nevertheless, if I find the opportunity, I will continue to mention these matters from time to time. If the Asr prayer is combined with the Friday prayer, the Sunnah prayer should be offered before the Friday prayer. Elaborating on this, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, whilst referring to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I was asked a question. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on a journey and there he was asked, I was asked a question that now at the time of the Friday prayer, a misunderstanding has arisen among some friends. And that is that the edict of the promised Messiah is that if the prayers are combined, then the Sunnah prayers before, afterwards and in the middle are not offered. There is no doubt that if the Zuhr and Asr prayers are combined, then the Sunnah prayers before and in the middle are not offered. Or if the Maghrib and Isha prayers are combined, then the Sunnah prayers in the middle and afterwards will not be offered. However, he says, the misunderstanding has been created that a friend has said that he was with me on a journey. In other words, he was with Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I led and combined the Friday and Asr prayers and also offered the Sunnah prayers before the Friday prayer. Both of these things are correct. It is correct that the Sunnah prayers are forgiven if the prayers are combined, and it is also correct that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to offer the Sunnah prayer prior to the Friday prayer. And I offered those on journey and still do, and the reason for this is that the voluntary prayers that are offered before the Friday prayer are different from the Sunnah prayer that are offered before the Zuhr prayer. As a matter of fact, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has established those in honor of the Friday prayer. On a journey, it is permitted to offer the Friday prayer as well as to not offer it. In other words, if a person is on a journey, he can offer the Friday prayer and he also has the option of not offering it. And by not offering it, it does not mean that he does not offer prayer at all. Rather, he should offer the Zuhr prayer. As the Muslim also says, I have witnessed the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam offer the Friday prayer on a journey as well as not offering it. On one occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had gone to Gurdaspur regarding a lawsuit. He was occupied there and said that the Friday prayer will not be offered today as we are on a journey. One person whose character was informal came to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and said, I have heard that Hazur said that the Friday prayer will not be offered today. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was in Gurdaspur in those days, but had come to Qadian on that day for some work. The person thought that the reason why the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said that the Friday prayer will not be offered was because Maulvi Sahib was not present, as he used to lead the Friday prayer. Therefore he said, Hazur, I also know how to lead the Friday prayer. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Indeed, you may know it, but we are on a journey, and will therefore offer the Zuhr prayer today. The person said, Hazur, I can lead the prayer well, and I have also led it many times. Upon this, when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam saw that this person is very keen on leading the Friday prayer, he said, Very well, let us pray the Friday prayer today. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I have witnessed the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam offer the Friday prayer while on journey, as well as not offering it. When the Friday prayer is offered on a journey, I offer the sunnah prayer prior to it. And it is my opinion that it should be offered, and this is the general edict, as it is different from the ordinary sunnah prayers, and it is offered as a respect for the Friday prayer. Therefore, if the Friday prayer is being offered, even in the condition of the Friday and Asr prayer being combined, the two rakat, i.e. two units of sunnah prayer, which are offered before the Friday prayer, should be offered. In life, we experience moments of joy and happiness at a personal level, as well as a community and as a country. And on such joyous occasions, we also express our happiness. However, at times, certain people fall prey to extremities. They will either spend excessively in the name of happiness, while on the other hand, some will give the reference of religion or some other reason and consider any kind of expression a sin. In both instances, Islam rejects this. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, who has appeared in this age to guide us on the path of moderation in accordance to the teachings of Islam, has also guided us regarding some of the most minor of issues, both in religious and worldly matters. I have mentioned about Salat, but what does the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam say about how to express ourselves on an occasion of joy and happiness which is worldly in nature? Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has told us about the practice of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, which I shall present before you. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, The practice of displaying lights and illuminations has been allowed by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, on a special occasion, lights and illuminations are displayed. And the reason why the subject of displaying lights and illumination was raised, because they were displayed at the time of the Queen Victoria's Jubilee, or perhaps on a different occasion. However, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that lights and illumination was displayed on the occasion of Queen Victoria's Jubilee, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam also allowed this to happen. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam twice allowed lighting and illuminations, once for the Jubilee of Queen Victoria, and the other time was for the Jubilee of King Edward, or perhaps both were for Queen Victoria's Jubilees. However, I can clearly recall that on both occasions, there was a display of lights and illuminations. Children like such things, therefore I clearly remember that oil lamps were lighted on the corners of Masjid Mubarak. And when the cotton seeds finished, in those days cotton seeds were used in the lamps, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam sent someone to get some more. The cotton seeds contain oil and that remains lit for quite a long time. As the Muslim Maud says, that the oil lamps were lit in our house, in Masjid Mubarak, and also in the madrasa. And Mir Ishaq Sahib has also testified to this. Therefore, there is no question of objecting to the display of lights and illuminations. Some people object to the display of lights and illuminations on such occasions. However, there is nothing to object about. As Muslim Maud says, my belief is that since the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was the Hakam and Adal, i.e. the judge and arbiter, he said nothing that was contrary to the Holy Quran. Therefore, the display of lights and illuminations was allowed by him. And many people have testified to this, and this also has been recorded in the Al-Hakam newspaper. Therefore, there is no need to have any discussion or debate about this. In other words, whether it is right or wrong to carry out illuminations, or when they should be done, or that whether it is a waste of money, etc. The manner in which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expressed his joy had wisdom behind it. Just as every action of a mu'min, a true believer, carries wisdom in it. If the display of lights and illuminations was to be carried out on a large scale and was considered necessary for every household to take part in it, it would be very expensive and without any real advantage. However, there is no harm when there is a national or a political need for it, or if there is a need for extra light. Hazrat Mir Ishaq Sahib told us that according to some of the traditions, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once arranged for extra lighting in the mosque. And Mir Sahib cited this as an example of where extra lighting was required in the mosque. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that the mosque is a place where extra lighting is needed as people read the Holy Quran there or other religious books. Thus, there was wisdom behind Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arranging for extra lighting in the mosque. In Islam, occasions of joy and happiness are celebrated in a way that benefits humanity as much as possible. For example, Eid, in which the sacrifice of the animals provides meat to the needy. And at Eid al-Fitr, the needy are given aid through the Fitra Nafan. Therefore, whenever Islam enjoins to express happiness and joy, the emphasis is on trying to celebrate in such a manner by which the country and humanity can receive as much as benefit as possible. However, displaying lights and illuminations cannot provide such benefit, but the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam carried it out based on political reasons. Similarly, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would buy a small fireworks so that children become joyful. He would say that when the sulfur inside it burns, it kills many germs. Therefore, it was not only to make the children happy, but when the sulfur inside the fireworks burns, it cleans the air. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to buy a small fireworks and sparkles, and although it is a kind of wastage, but it also has some temporary benefit. And though the benefit was not very significant, but the children would enjoy it, and thus the harm caused by suppressing children was avoided. However, the promised Messiah did not instruct the whole Jamaat to do fireworks. The promised Messiah alayhi salam did not say to the whole Jamaat to take part in fireworks. There is no harm if occasionally children take part in this, and it should be done with the intention that the air will also be purified. And so it will combine both aspects. Children will be happy and the air will also be purified. There is no harm in children having a little recreation or entertainment, and their sentiments should not be completely suppressed. Children should have the understanding that Islam does not dismiss their rightful demands. For instance, taking part in illuminations and fireworks will not only make them part of the national celebration, but it will also help them express their connection with their country. And it will also provide some recreation for them. Therefore, there is no harm to take part in these events according to the circumstances and in moderation. However, it should be made clear to the children, right from the start, that our celebrations are within the sphere of the teachings of Islam and the law of the land. Hazrat Relating two incidents from his childhood, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, I always remember that once when I was a little child, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam went to Multan and I also went along with him. I was about 7 or 8 years old and I only remember two incidents from that trip. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, I can recall incidents when I was only 2 years old. In fact, a friend reminded me of an incident which I remembered, and I was only one at the time it happened. Thus, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that he can recall certain incidents from his very early childhood. However, he says, I can only recall two incidents from this trip. The first one is that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stopped at Lahore on the way back. During those days, an exhibition of waxwork was being shown. In other words, images and statues made from waxwork were being shown, which depicted the various images of kings and the scenes of their courts. Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib, the owner of the English warehouse, which in those days was known as the Bombay warehouse, requested the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam to see the waxworks, as it was very educational and gives an insight into history. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam refused. Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib then began to persuade me to see the waxworks. Since I was only a child, I began coaxing the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that I wanted to see the waxworks. And so, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, upon my insistence, took me there. We saw a number of kings and their various circumstances were depicted. Some of these showed their deaths, while others showed their state of illness. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that this was one of the incidents I remember. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam agreed to take Hazrat Musleh Maud because many people had spoken highly of it and had said it was very educational and historic, and so there was no harm in seeing it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam did not just simply go because a child had insisted. If this was something that was against the teaching of Islam, the promised Messiah would never have gone despite the insistence of the child. But because it had an educational aspect, therefore the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam agreed to go and took the child with him. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, the second incident I can recall is that in Lahore someone once invited the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and he accepted the invitation and went there. I feel that it was not an invitation. In fact, Mufti Sadiq Sahib or one of his children was not well, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam went to see him. In any case, as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from the inner part of the city, I saw a huge crowd gathered outside the stairs of the Golden Mosque, and they were hurling verbal abuse, and there was a man standing in the middle of them. It is possible that he was a Maulvi, i.e. a cleric, and it seemed, as is their habit, that he was giving an ill-timed challenge to them. When the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's carriage passed the crowd, I thought it was some kind of fair and stuck my head out of the carriage. And I can never forget that incident. I saw that a man with one hand cut off and was wrapped in bandages filled with turmeric. He was striking his stump hand on his other hand and saying, Mirza has run away, Mirza has run away. I have mentioned this incident once before with reference to something else. But here Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that look, a person is injured and his hand is wrapped in bandages. However, in his rage of opposition, he thinks that God forbid, with his stumped hand, he can defeat Ahmadiyyat or that he can eliminate Ahmadiyyat. How dangerous is this opposition which is found in the hearts of people? They tried their level best to stop people from entering Qadian and accepting Ahmadiyyat. There are many such Ahmadis who had the intention to come to Qadian during the days of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they even reached Batala, but Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib turned them away. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I have heard that Maulvi Abdul Majid Sahib Bhagalpuri was also deprived from accepting Ahmadiyyat in the early days, because when he reached Batala, Maulvi Muhammad Hassan Batalvi lured him away. And this was Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib Batalvi's daily routine. He would stand at the railway station every day, and whenever anyone got off to visit Qadian, he would say to them, "What will you do there? You will only waste away your faith." And so many people who considered him a religious scholar would turn away thinking that whatever Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib is saying is probably the truth. All of this was because of the opposition from the Maulvis, i.e. the clerics. They had incited people so much that even the poor man with the stumped hand was raising such slogans. All of this opposition from the Maulvis against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was due to their ignorance and selfish desires. And they were using religion in order to incite people and fulfill their vested interests. However, they object against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and incite people against the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. But the promised Messiah came for this very purpose, that is, to explain the true teachings of Islam and also to establish the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's status of Khatm Nubuwwat, i.e. the seal of all prophets. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was the true lover and true servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The purpose of the promised Messiah's advent itself was to tell the world that now the salvation of the world depends upon the last and Khatmul Anbiya prophet, i.e. the seal of all prophets, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, it is the misfortune of these so-called religious scholars that instead of joining themselves to this true lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and instead of listening to his call, they are making the allegation against him that, God forbid, he is a denier of Khatm Nubuwwat, i.e. the seal of prophets, and that he considers his own status to be greater than the Holy Prophet. However, what they attribute to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is completely against his teachings and against his practice. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam challenged the followers of every faith that now the only way to salvation is through accepting Islam and through the servitude of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In any case, these scholars continue to make their efforts against the community. However, the community has constantly grown. Even now they are making efforts, and they will continue to do so. However, it is the decree of Allah the Almighty that the community of the true servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will grow and will continue to progress, inshallah. May Allah the Almighty enable us as well to inculcate within us the true reform the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam desired to see within us. And may we become a model of true Muslims, and that may we enlighten our minds and thoughts and develop taqwa, i.e. righteousness, in our hearts. Today I will lead a funeral prayer after the Friday prayers, which is of respected Ummatul Hafiz Rahman Sahiba, the wife of respected Dr. Atawar Rahman Sahib, who was the former Amir of Sahiwal region. She passed away on the 15th of April 2016. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was the daughter-in-law of Hazrat Mia Azimullah Sahib, the companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and was the maternal granddaughter of Hazrat Sheikh Hussain Baksh Sahib, who was also the companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Her father, respected Malik Khurshid Sahib, was the first secretary of Tamir Committee Rabwa. For a long time, she had the opportunity to serve as the president of Lajna of Sahiwal. She was someone who put great trust in Allah the Almighty. She was fervent in her prayers, very hospitable, took care of the needy. She was someone who made much financial sacrifices and had a loyal relationship with Khilafat and was very patient and grateful. When the incident occurred where the Ahmadis in Sahiwal were being imprisoned due to their faith, many people would come to meet her husband as he was the Amir of the region, and she would serve the guests very well. Her husband, Dr. Atawar Rahman, served the Jamaat for about 40 years and she supported her husband diligently. She would also take keen interest in caring for those guests who would come from the center. She has brought up all her children in such a manner that they all have a deep connection of sincerity and loyalty with Khilafat. By the grace of Allah, she was a Musia. She has 5 sons and 3 daughters. May Allah the Almighty establish her children on good deeds. And may Allah the Almighty make her future generations beneficial for the Jamaat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.